Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this show without the express written consent of the Financial Guys LLC is strictly prohibited.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage Services, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management or Blackridge Asset Management. Financial Guys, Independent Solutions, and Blackridge Asset Management are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, Inc.
I used to think that the United States and Australia were very similar, with the exception of more kangaroos.
Welcome back. You've got the Financial Guys, Glenn Wiggle and Ryan Norton, and from Mike Lomas, who is doing a little bit of traveling today, and be back with us next week. And anyhow, we streaming live. I'm not sure. We're a little bit late this morning. I remember we started at 8 o'clock. Ryan had some conflicts with getting little ones off to school, which is always fun. I'm a little bit past that that time, but I certainly remember some of the funny stuff dropping the kids off at preschool for sure. So thanks for your patience. Are we streaming live anywhere, Lil? Or are we just recording this and putting it up later? We are live on Facebook. Very good. I guess we're still banned on YouTube. So anyway, Lily's helping us out today and producing the show. So appreciate you joining us. At some point, and I'm hoping that not too distant future, we'll be able to take phone calls right here on the air. I've been talking about and teasing that for like 6 months. I actually think we're ready for that. So at some point, we are going to go ahead and start taking phone calls here on the air. But we will be, of course, live on Saturday as well, taking phone calls there as well. So Ryan and I have lined up some stuff. I'm going to tell a quick story about Lily, actually, the funniest stuff. I'm sorry, Lily, but I have to do this to you. So we used to have dropped Lily off at the little, you know, the town hall, the town of it's like Alden Lancaster, Town Line, you know, daycare or whatever. This is going back, you know, 20 years. And Lily, who has always been very independent, you know, never wanted to do the projects that poor Mrs. Stutzman, who's this little old lady, the sweetest, kindest lady in the world. And Mrs. Stutzman every day would come up with a project for the three-year-olds and whatnot. And Lily would decide that, you know, either she did or she didn't want to do it or she did her own thing or whatever. And it kind of got to be the kind of running joke. And one day I dropped Lily off and she goes, just strutting down the stairs. She was like the first one there, proudest punch. And in all sarcasm for a three-year-old, she looks at Mrs. Stutzman and goes, "So, what are we making today, Stutzman?" I will never forget that for as long as I live because she's only 3 years old. It was the funniest thing. It's like, all right, lady, so what do we got going on today here? You know, anyways, I had to tell that story. Sorry, Lil. But anyway,
she was pumped for this morning. She was pumped for preschool. Last night, she was so pumped up for it that she didn't sleep all night. She was up all night. I think she was just great. She was in it. She wanted to be there. And then this morning, you could tell that she was excited, but all of a sudden, it was like she was talking a big game about going.
Right.
And then it was, all right, you ready to go? And she's like,
We got to go now. I'm not sure about that. Yeah. Good times. Good times having a little one. So anyway. All right. Well, we're going to talk about some COVID stuff today. We're going to talk about some of the government, I don't know what you want to call it, false flag or involvement or whatever. I find some of the stuff going on just very fishy, and maybe we'll start with that. You know, and recently there was a video just this past week of this new group that nobody has ever heard of, right? And I wanted to start with that because I wish our media would just ask some questions. I mean, just some basic questions, right?
You know, and they don't be a journalist. Yeah.
Just be a journalist. Like, just, I mean, don't you go into journalism because you have some sort of an inquisitive mind? Like, you know, something doesn't seem right here, or, you know, maybe we should ask some questions here. So out of nowhere, right, a couple weeks ago, all of a sudden, this new group shows up that I have never heard of. And I'm on the internet all the time, Twitter and all over the place, right? I feel like I'm pretty well in the know. Now, I'm not, you know, an expert on right-wing fringe groups. I don't know a lot about the Proud Boys or really much of anything. And some of these what they call extremist right-wing groups. So all of a sudden, this Patriot Front group pops up. And They march at this. What was the rally in D.C. they marched at? The women's
March for Life.
March for Life. Yeah. So the March for Life, all of a sudden this new Patriot Front group shows up and they just so happen to be wearing, you know, uniforms, khakis, you know, matching jackets. They're all wearing face masks. Now, of all the right wing groups that you've seen, of all the different groups that you've seen out there, Proud Boys and whatever you want to call, whatever different groups are out, the Patriot groups or whatever, when was the last time you saw them, number one, wearing A, uniforms, And B, number two, I like my number one A. Two, I like doing that. You know, one and then B. They're all wearing face masks. They're all wearing uniforms. Like no groups that I know on the right are in lockstep with uniforms. Now they show up in Chicago just this week at another whatever, right? And so, and again, they're matching khakis. They're all marching in lockstep. This time they have matching shields. They're carrying flagpoles. Yeah. Now they've got these fancy looking, you know, futuristic kind of shields, all matching. They got insignias. So I was just curious because I'm a curious guy. I start looking into this group. I'm like, what's going on with this group? And I found, of course, first thing comes up is the Southern Poverty, you know, Law Center, whatever, and the other extremist right-wing group, right. You know. And, but I couldn't actually find anything that seemed extremist about this group. I you know, they were talking about, you know, closing the border and stuff like that. I'm not saying they're, you know, they're being labeled as a white supremacist group. And supposedly, you know, they think that they, you know, their ancestors have the rights of the country because that they came here first or something along those lines. That's what I read from the Southern Poverty Law Center. However, I couldn't find that anywhere. It took me a long time to find even their website. I couldn't find any social media for these folks. But here's the thing that I found interesting from this past week with the Chicago deal, right? All of the mainstream media ran with a video that was posted by a Twitter page that was created a month ago. That, and a lot of these internet sleuths are way better than me, and they pointed this out. They said, this is an AI-generated avatar image. This is an automatic – it was like one of those at, you know, whatever. It appeared to be basically, you know, a brand-new account that put this video out there. Now, if you're a brand-new account that puts a video out there, when – all these other reporters were there taking video. Why was this the video that was picked up by all the news outlets? Number one. Okay. Number two, when I looked into this, or B, when I looked into this,
there you go.
There I go again. When I looked into the into some of the background of this supposed Patriot Front or whatever, it looks like it was formed as a split off from another group that was involved with the Charleston, West Virginia, deal, yeah. with the poor, you know, the demonstrator got run over, and it was the clashes that happened. It was, you know, they labeled Trump. So the split off group at the time, it was this kid was a 19-year-old kid, this Russo, I guess, or whatever his name is, that founded this group, right? 19-year-old kid. Now he's 21, maybe, whatever. So in 2 years, let me ask you this question. 2 years, how do you go from a 19-year-old kid that was arrested for placing stickers to a seemingly very well-funded and organized organization that is marching in lockstep, is very well-coordinated, obviously is now someone's paying for their travel to places like D.C. and Chicago, right? Someone's paying for their uniforms. Do they have a marketing department that's creating their logos and their uniforms and their insignia? Who created the shields? Right. This all to me, and I'm just speculating here, I have no evidence of this, but this seems to me that it's something more than just a right wing extremist group. It would seem to me that somebody is providing material support to this group that nobody seems to want to look into. Now, could it be that maybe the source that a lot of these news outlets get their information from are, you know, in the deep state, so to speak, the CIA, FBI, whatever, anonymous sources within the intelligence community? Could it have been the intelligence community that put out that video to every single news outlet that ran with it? Or did every single news outlet that ran with it pick up the video from a brand new account that had less than 200 followers on Twitter?
Well, we were trying to talk about this too, and you and I were kind of going through some scenarios in our mind of how does it get to be this, right? So we talked about it, like, did they take something that was delegitimate and try to legitimize it because they didn't have enough actual racist, white supremacist, right-wing groups? So did they basically give everybody Captain America shields and pay for them and try to do that? And you and I, we've organized events before. It's expensive to get people from place to place.
Yep.
It's expensive to dress them up like a whole bunch of private school kids, first off, because they have to wear, and they're like, oh, and then they're in their staple khakis and staple blue shirts and
just,
staple.
Whatever. Yeah, which just happens to actually – heard of the – yeah, that happens to match the FBI uniform requirements. I don't know if you knew that or not.
I was going
to
say –
Yeah, that's honest to God. That's what, when you look at the uniform requirements for FBI agents, it's khaki pants and blue shirts or suits. That's right. That's what they're wearing.
Are they going to Langley or are they going to March for
What? So here's what I'm saying. I'm saying this looks a lot like the Michigan a kidnapping attempt, right? Where it turns out, half these FBI agents are under investigation in some other way, right? But it was like 8 FBI agients for every 1 or 2. It was like 4-1 or 8-1 FBI agents to morons that participated. So
yeah,
I can easily see.
Yeah.
So let me just walk you down this potential scenario. This kid at 19-year-old gets arrested for putting stickers around town and at college campuses and stuff like that that say Save America or Close the Border, whatever it said. That's not what it said, but it was something along. It was pretty innocuous. It wasn't like white power or anything like that. It was more along the lines of what you see with a lot of these Save America kind of deal, right?
Right.
But this kid gets in trouble for putting stickers, for vandalizing, whatever. Maybe this is a bad kid. I don't know anything about this guy, right? Or a kid or whatever. I don't know nothing about this kid outside of what I've read
right.
from the few articles, right? Maybe
Except
he's a bad kid
like
in general.
He was just being 19.
Sounds like he was being 19 doing stupid stuff. And suddenly now, what a good opportunity for the FBI to come in and exploit a group like that and provide to them the material support that a 19-year-old kid would need to take a fledgling, ragtag little group to a fully funded with uniform, shields, matching outfits, logos, insignias, and the ability to travel all over the country seemingly at the drop of a hat, right? It seems awfully fishy to me. And not like, one media outlet's going to ask any questions. They all got the same video. Not from this Twitter feed. No way. No way.
No, create a month.
Why not from each other?
So let's take it in both scenarios, right? Let's say we're 100% wrong. This kid then, in this instance, right, has created and funded somehow and mobilized while having the wherewithal to do it between being 19 to 21-year-old, right, has somehow coordinated an entire group to move with matching uniforms, matching all stuff. So he's not only generated and raised the funds to do it, but he's also coordinated moving people in different geographic locations around to organize at these rallies. So that's a heck of a coincidence, right? Even if we're wrong, right? But if we're right, this is another example of them creating something, being a bunch of dirtbags, and then pinning it on the right-wing people. Now, I'm not some far right-wing person. We had to look up this group. I'd never even heard of them, right?
I never heard of them either.
Right. But the thing is, they talked about how prevalent this right-wing, extremist, racist group was. I never even heard of them.
I didn't hear them until they showed up in D.C. last week with khakis and things, yeah.
The amount of time that they talk about how popular and how prevalent these right-wing extremist groups are, you think I'd be seeing them at Wegmans. Right. I wouldn't be able to go to Tops without getting just some skinhead running up to me, giving me a flyer. It's just just doesn't happen.
So this was from the Daily Cause or whatever. Founder of fascist patriot front group arrested in Texas for plastering stickers. Now, this is what happened back in 2020, right? Deputies arrested. Utah. So now we're talking about this Utah deal, right? Deputies arrested Cameron Pruitt, 21, of Midway, Utah, and Graham Whitson, 29, of Grapevine, Texas. All three were held overnight at $500 bond and released the next day. According to the arrest report, Russo became a prominent national figure in white nationalist circles following the August 11th, 12th Unite the Right rally, in which he marched with fellow member of neo-Nazi group. I guess maybe I'm just not in the neo-Nazi group chats
hang out in the right groups.
I don't know. So, but recently they hung a banner, I guess, as well in Utah, that said something. I don't know what it said. Let me find it here. It said, hang on a second.
The thing is though.
Oh, in Boise, hanging banner of Boise. Okay. So white supremacist group hung a banner over Interstate 84 in Boise earlier this month as part of a series of guerrilla self-promotions across the country, according to Boise Police Department. This was, January 25th. So this was just this past couple weeks. Patriot Front is categorized as an extremist hate group by the Southern Law Poverty Center, anti-defamation, blah, 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 blah. They don't say what the banner said, the Patriot Fronting wording. I don't know what it actually said, but I don't think it was anything other than, close the border I think it was Reclaim America is what they have. Now, again, I'm not pro or con. I don't know anything about this group. And, of course, if they're neo-Nazi white supremacist group, I would denounce them. I think that's terrible.
Yeah, we want nothing to do with that.
But again, I'm just saying this seems awfully a lot like a manufactured deal, right? And if it's not manufactured, who is providing the funding? Who's providing the resources? Who's providing, you know, again, all the cars to get these folks all over the country? I've never heard of this group, again, until they all showed up suddenly in khakis. Now, if you're a 19, 21-year-old, which outfit would you choose? I'm just curious. I mean, if you're a 21-year-old kid and you're creating a white supremacist group, a national white, you know, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, what do they call it here? Let me go back. A neo-Nazi guerrilla group, right? If that's what your deal is, if you're a guerrilla neo-Nazi group that's going to be, you know, showing up at these rallies and putting signs up and whatnot, do you show up in khakis? Yeah, I mean, is that intimidating? Wouldn't you have like ripped jeans and like black leather or something like that? I don't know. I'm just curious. To me, that wouldn't be the outfit I would choose.
Yeah. Why do you dress up like you're putting carts away at the grocery store?
Right.
Like, I you know what I mean? Like, that wouldn't be the most intimidating look that you could have.
This reminds me of if you could. Really? Oh, so I thought it just popped up there.
She enjoyed my cart comment.
If you could. That's true. If you could provide. And put in the replay of the podcast, the image of the FBI agents as somebody, whoever took that photo deserves a Pulitzer Prize. It is classic where they're all standing around and the one guy's looking over his shoulder and they're all wearing the same like two short shorts and the same two tight shirts. And they got the same exact FBI sunglasses on. I mean,
honest to God, FBI on the outside of it.
You know, it's hilarious. I mean, it's like they're obvious, right?
Hello, fellow people and patriots. All right, don't do that.
So then the other question. So you say, well, Glenn, I mean, come on. So then why you bring this up? I bring it up because I want to now parlay over to January 6th, okay? January 6th, where they're chasing down little old ladies with crochet needles. They're still holding people in a jail, which, by the way, got again written up by the Justice Department for having inhumane conditions, right? So January 6th, we have hours and hours and hours of videotape that the FBI won't release. We have a Ray Epps, a guy who's been identified by, again, these fantastic internet sleuths who is, you know, somebody went to his house and said, Ray, what's going on? Like, what can you tell us why you were at the January 6th thing? You were rallying. He's on video rallying people. You know, we got to go inside. And everyone's like, no. And everyone's like, Fed. The crowd starts chanting Fed. The very next day, he's on video again. He whispers. He pulls one of the protesters back, allegedly, says something into his ear. And then immediately the guy turns around and pulls down the barrier and they break the barrier, right? Clearly part of coordinating an effort, right? He was obviously trying to coordinate people in an effort to breach the Capitol. He would seem like somebody who was very important for the administration or for the FBI, Justice Department, whoever's investigating to look into. And yet somehow he continues to walk free. Now, why is that? Could it be that he's an FBI asset? Could it be that the FBI is absolutely corrupt to the core? I say yes. Personally, you can make your own opinion. But let me ask you another question. When are we going to know what the motive was for the worst mass massacre gun shooting in American history, which was the Vegas shooting? Still no motive. The FBI in that case allowed one of the prime witnesses, his girlfriend, to wire $100,000 out of the country and leave the country temporarily?
Yeah, that sounds
really.
That sounds right. Yeah.
What about the guy who was shot? The security guard supposedly that was shot and went to Mexico for medical treatment. There's all these questions that arise when it comes to the FBI involvement in some of this stuff. And again, for those that say, Glenn, come on, the conspiracy theories, come on, look at the FBI and the Justice Department ran fast and furious. They sold high-powered assault rifles to vicious Mexican drug cartels. The Mexican drug cartels are as vicious as ISIS, minus the religion, right?
And then they
take away the religion, the nut jobbery, right? Right? They're the same. Cutting off heads, boiling people alive, crazy stuff, right? Terrible stuff.
I think it's kind of the MO, though, right? Like, it's a track record of being a scumbag in these organizations and then pinning it on the American people, right? So that's what happened, right. Obviously, when you look what happened to Gretchen Whitmer. You took some moron, right?
Yeah.
You surrounded him with a whole bunch of people, and then you took another moron and surrounded him by a whole bunch of FBI people. So you have, what, five people in the plot that were actually outside, and the rest of them were FBI? Right. Well, it sounds like the FBI is running the organization, not the 3 to 5 people that happen to be in a van that, you know what I mean? So then you say, okay, well, then let's look at what Ray Epps is doing. So Ray Epps miraculously is just out and about. Yet you have people that haven't even seen sunlight in a year that are being held because they were going around taking pictures of the plants that are
taking selfies.
Inside the Capitol building, right? If that moron with horns is the most dangerous thing that happened on January 6th, that's not an insurrection.
He got like 4 years, didn't he?
Yeah, he's going to jail forever.
He's going to jail for 3 or 4 years, I think.
And what did he do? He's an idiot. So, I mean, is it a crime to be a moron? Sure. Should he have done that?
Should be.
No. Yeah. But I find it ironic, too, that they have the paparazzi was there when he was coming in. Have you seen the pictures where they're taking pictures of him on the way in? It's like that guy must have been really dangerous that all of these.
How about the CNN reporter, though? There's a CNN reporter in there with the guy from Utah. Who is that guy? Who's the guy from Utah that they arrested but then released?
The guy that was right by when Ashley Babbitt was shot, right?
Yeah, he was right there. He was right around Ray Epps.
And then sold the footage.
Right?
So that guy is What's not an insurrectionist, right? That guy, he's been around forever, though. That guy's been involved.
They arrested him, and then I think they let him out. I don't think he went to jail or anything.
No.
I think he's out and about, right?
His footage was way too good to keep him in jail.
Right. But he miraculously shows up at all these key spots. He shows up at the spot with Ray Epps where they break the gate down. He's shown in other areas with where Ray Epps is. He's now shown – he's on video walking in through the rotunda – Where the CNN reporter goes, we did it. I can't believe we did it. It was like Jason Williams or something. What was his name?
Something like that. Yeah, I can't remember. I'll have to look it up.
Really look it up for me.
The difference, too, though, is remember, though, that guy is well known as a left-wing activist.
Right.
Which means that guy is – he's got a – that's all you have to say. That's a get-out-of-jail-free
card. Right. He was there.
I believe the guy that we're talking about is one, a minority. Two, he's a left-wing activist. And three, he disguised himself as a Trump supporter. Remember, didn't he – wasn't he the one that had the MAGA hat on or had a Trump hat on?
Yeah.
Which means – he's disguised himself, so he's not going to go to jail. Are you kidding me? So they let him out, but it's just pattern, right, of continuously and then blaming things on the American people. So I can't – we were talking about this the other day. We have – they talk about January 6th every single day. It's the only thing that comes out of their mouth, right? January 6th, to where even the January 6th committee is the most corrupt thing that we've ever seen in our life. It's a joke. They don't want any of this footage. Liz Cheney's on there. Kinzinger's on there. It's literally – the whole thing is it's a kangaroo court, right? It's a sham. But now we look at what's coming down the line. They have to make January 6th last all the way until November.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, they're running out of COVID. We're going to talk about that next. They're definitely running out of that.
What are you going to do, right? So Omicron is here, and it's destroying the entire COVID narrative. So what do you have to do? They're going to
John Sullivan.
Bring on. That's right.
He's John Sullivan.
Forever.
Thank you.
So
Lily.
They have to get January 6th to stretch all the way to November if they can, because COVID's losing steam, right? Everybody's going to get this variant. Nobody's scared of it anymore because nobody's dying. So what are you going to do? You have to try to somehow get to January, or you have to get to November, and you have to do it on the back of January. So it's going to be an interest. It's going to be a very – I mean, Biden talked about it's going to be a long winter and also about COVID and deaths and stuff like that. No, it's not.
Only...
It's going to be a long stretch that they have to suddenly make this scare tactic work of either white supremacy or COVID. Those are the two that they got to get all the way for the next 10 months.
That's right. I'm telling you, I believe the FBI needs to be dismantled, and I hope that if there's a Republican president, no matter who it is that comes in next, I hope that they seriously take a very strong look at completely eliminating the entire agency. And I'm telling
you, make them all reapply.
I know there are good people in the agency. I'm not condemning every rank and file member of the FBI, but I am telling you that the FBI at the upper echelons and through a lot of the lower echelons is rotten to the core. They are corrupt, and they have been busted. And you look no further than some of the things that they've done. We just mentioned a couple. How about the Garland, Texas? I've mentioned this before.
Right.
You know what to do. Go light up Texas is the literal text from the FBI agent to the guy, the terrorist he was trailing, that they gave material support to, weapons, money, and things like that. Now, do you think the FBI would say, okay, I'm going to call to where he's going. He's on his way. Look out for this guy. No. Right. He didn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Thank God Texans shoot. They know how to shoot. Texans know how to shoot, right? Thank God there was a private security guard that was a good Texan that knew how to shoot. And he saved a lot of people. He was a hero, right?
Notice it took the American to fight the government without even knowing it. It took an American that was a good person to go against. But look at the other.
But this is a serious problem, Ryan. This is a huge issue, man. We have a federal bureau investigation. Our national law enforcement agency that has been repeatedly busted doing like the Michigan Garland, Fast and Furious. Go on down the list, right?
But don't we have a history, too, of any time that there's unelected bureaucracy,
yes,
constantly overwhelmed with absolute nonsense? Like, if you look at Dr. Fauci.
But this is more than nonsense, though.
Nobody ever elected him, and look what happened. If you look at Christopher Wray, that's an appointed position. None of these people are elected, so they're not accountable to anybody.
That's right.
You can just run rampant. You can set these things up because who's going to hold you accountable? Especially if you're a mid-level FBI guy and you're kind of a dirtbag anyways, but you have the support of everybody that's above you. No one's going to tell you not to do it because they're the ones going, man, that sounds good. We can pin it on a whole bunch of those guys.
Well, when you
There's
look
no
at,
accountability.
You look at Comey, Mueller. Let's talk about Mueller for a second with the FBI. Mueller was in charge of the Boston Bureau of Investigation, right? That office there. When Whitey Bulger was the informant for the FBI. Now, they knew that Whitey Bulger had killed two people. They kept two innocent people in jail purposefully because they wanted to get more information from Whitey Bulger. Now, I don't know what information they got, but ultimately, what were they doing? It almost as if they were part of the mob working with Whitey Bulger, watching him knock people off. And how important could his information possibly have been while you're watching him kill people and keeping other innocent people in jail for it? Mueller was in charge of that. Mueller did that. Now, when Whitey Bulger, 80-something, started to talk about that, we wouldn't know about that if Whitey Bulger didn't start opening his mouth and saying, you know what, I'm not going to be much on this earth much longer. I'm going to start talking. And he did. And immediately they transferred him to a different jail, I think in the D.C. area, where they just so happened to accidentally leave the door open. Now, Whitey Bulger, 80-something-year-old in the wheelchair, they left the door open so that he could be beaten to death, and he was. The other inmates obliged, and they beat him to death, right?
Yeah, he got Epstein. If you look what happens, though, so let's extrapolate Mueller's – yeah, let's take Mueller's career now, right? And then let's extrapolate that down the line with the whole Russian hoax.
Right.
So what happened is – and you knew that it was all garbage, right? And you know how you know it's garbage? Because they started asking him questions about the report that he apparently did, and he knew nothing about it. Which means that you had everybody – I mean, you just spend – a gazillion dollars of taxpayers' money. Yep. You spend every day with your eyelids pinned open like this, looking through all of this dangerous Russian collusive stuff. And then you have Ted Cruz ask you one question. You go, it's not in my purview. You're that big of an idiot.
Yep.
You've been on this earth forever in this bureaucracy.
Read your
nonsense,
own report.
And you can't.
But you know what? It didn't matter. Why bother to read a report? He got away with it. Why? He didn't have to read his own report.
No.
Because guess what? Did Ted Cruz hold him accountable? No.
He didn't write his own report.
Did anybody else hold him accountable?
Absolutely.
And now McCabe, he gets his pension back, right? That's no problem. He gets fired, right? There's no consequences for Democrats. None. If you are a good card-carrying Democrat in the Democrat Party, unless you cross the party bosses, which I think Cuomo ultimately did, unless you get too big for your britches, as long as you stay in line. And remember, and I don't know who exactly those party bosses are. Are they the deep state? Are they the FBI? Are they the CIA? Because remember, Chuck Schumer, a senior senator, he's been a senator forever, as long as I've been alive, right? Chuck Schumer said his own words, right? You don't cross the FBI. They've got 6 ways to Sunday to get back at you. Oh, I guess he got the memo then? So he understands
like
intelligence
committee or something.
I didn't vote for Chuck, but a lot of people in New York did, right? So you mean to tell me, Chuck, that even though the voters voted for you, there's only 100 senators in the entire country. Every state gets 2. That's it.
Right.
You are you control 1% of the Senate, right? That's a big deal. It's a lot of power. You're a senior guy. You're telling me you take your orders from the intelligence community? You're telling the president of the United States, you're warning him you don't cross the intelligence community? Are you insane?
Yeah. Who's in charge
here? Do they actually let the cat out of the bag?
Wouldn't you think the senators that would be more powerful than them? But
you'd
it's
hope.
The other way around.
Aren't the senators supposed to be holding them accountable? Isn't it Congress's job to provide oversight to these federal agencies like the FBI?
Yeah,
I think
look
it
at
is.
Some of these senators, though. Look, just let's just take New York State as an example, right? You have Kristen Gillibrand, one of the dumbest people alive. You mean to tell me that she's going to outsmart the FBI, the intelligence community?
No, but she still has the power. But they're scared, though. See, they don't have the power, right? Because guess what? The FBI, what they put out there, a sex scandal, right? What do they throw out there? How do they take you down, right?
Right.
Because you know they've done it, right? I mean,
it's
amazing.
What I thought was going to happen to Joe Manchin. That's what's going to happen to Kristen Sinema. I think if they keep holding out on this Build Back Better, there's all of a sudden going to be, you know, like Senator Tom Reed, right?
I think they're too squeaky clean.
Feel uncomfortable.
I think that's the problem for her. I think they're too squeaky clean. So I think Joe Manchin knows that. Unless the FBI can manufacture something, and I don't put it past them, so don't get me wrong. I don't put anything past these folks. Again, if you're willing to sell high-powered weapons to Mexican drug cartels, which literally dissolve people in vats of acid, right? They cut people's heads off and leave them hanging over bridge overpasses as messages. They're as vicious as ISIS is, minus the religion, okay?
Right.
You gave them you gave them high-powered weapons, right?
Which now, on a national level, on our own people, right?
Right.
So let's make sure that's brought that out. Our people were killed by the information and the weapons that were given to the Mexican drug cartels, which they also said, well, we also lost the tracking devices on them. What do you mean?
Sure you did.
You lost them, so you give them all this stuff. It's kind of like when they said
there was
never any
intent to track it. It was all about let's fan the flames of gun violence so we can take away the guns. Now
it was weapons laundering. That's
speaking of guns. Let me switch gears for just a second. We're going to get to some of the COVID admissions that we finally got to. Let's talk about guns for a second. Talk about the Second Amendment. Remember when the pandemic first started? I'm going to take you back down memory lane here for a second. March 2 years ago, 15 days to slow the curve, 2 years ago, right? Remember those 2 years ago? When the very first images started coming out of China, what were those images, Ryan?
Well, you got to remember, it's also the hardest part of the 15 days to flatten the curve is the first 2 years, right?
Right, right.
So let me think back to
Doing. So remember how the world was outraged, how they were chasing people down in the street, right? There were those videos of them like just dragging people into a van and taking them away. And it was like, oh, my God. The world was like, oh, my God, what are they doing? They're taking people to like COVID camp. They were nailing people shut in their in their hotel, you know, their apartment. Their houses and whatnot, right?
Yeah, you're
and the world was outraged.
Locked in, yeah.
The world was outraged as they watched, you know, communist Gestapo, you know, military, you know, people, you know, beating people with batons and dragging them away and throwing them in the vans. And then Australia started doing it. And now Canada's doing it. And France is doing it. And I've seen it happen all over the world. I've seen the exact same images that I've seen in communist China play out in what I thought were free nations throughout the world, right? You watched a SWAT team in Canada wait out and stalk out a highway to arrest a pastor.
A pastor, that's right.
Right, craziness, right?
Well, look what's happening right now in Australia with Novak Djokovic. I mean, there's been an all-out war against natural immunity. I mean, Novak Djokovic just in December had COVID. So he has a medical exemption. I already had it. I have natural immunity. I'm going to go play in the Australian Open. So he flies to Australia. Yep. They detain him, put him in basically like they lock him in a room. They say that they're going to do a deportation of him, and they were going to get rid of his visa. They're going to take away his visa.
Right.
Now, I'd also like to point out that they invited him to come there and said that they would review his medical exemption.
Right.
So he goes there, and then they say, no, we're not accepting it. I mean, that's happening in these countries that used to be – I used to think that the United States and Australia were very similar, with the exception of more kangaroos, right?
Yeah.
They were very similar. They were built on a democratic process, X, Y, and Z. But then you look what actually happened. I mean, we're if you think that we're very closely related to them in terms of culture – then you should definitely pay attention to what they're doing, throwing people in camps. You're not too far away. I mean, what do they call them? Just FEMA camps here, but they're called detainment camps over there. I mean, if you make the wrong decision, it's a slippery slope for you in Australia. I mean, we've seen the Facebook videos that are coming out. You can't get too close to the fence. What do you mean I can't get too close to the fence? No, you can't work out close to the fence. What are you talking about? I mean, it's starting to get – if it wasn't dangerous and scary a year ago and we're here today, what is it now? I don't know what else to call it.
Let me. I don't know if you can hear this or not. If I play this, I don't know if I can do this or not. But I'm going to play the image, and maybe people will. Maybe it'll work. We'll see what happens. But let me do this. I'm not sure if you'll hear this. I'm not sure if it matters if you hear this, but let me wait, I gotta get out of this. I can't do it like that. I gotta do this.
Depending on what it is, I might have seen it anyway. Da, da, da,
da, da. I'm sure you have. Let's share this. Right, the window. This one right here. Share.
In the meantime.
You can see this now, right? This is Canada.
I can.
Okay.
Well, can you hear it or not? Technically see it loading.
Stupid internet.
Are you playing it on your end?
Yeah, did you hear it or not?
Nope.
Okay, so I'll just mute it.
Oh, now I can see it. Now I can see it.
Okay, yeah. So delayed for some reason.
Yeah.
So this is Canada, though. I'm just going to play it without the sound, and let's see if hopefully it'll stop doing a little whatever you call the thingy.
Right. It's loading.
Loading, yeah. Loading. Clocking. So this is why we got to get new software so we just have it embedded. This is, though, what they did here. This is Canada. Not North Korea. It's Canada. They literally had a bunch of protesters out on the street breaking curfews, you know, trying to protest for the freedom. They surrounded them with military vehicles and police and whatnot, and they hurled them. They herded them all to the center of the intersection. They arrested every one of them. They're sitting in a jail cell somewhere now. Now, again, I expect that in China. I expect that in North Korea, right? I'm giving up on this. This is not working.
Right.
I expect that in those places, right? I don't expect that in Canada. Right. I don't expect that in these places. The world has changed so much in 10 years for the worse. It is scary. And I blame Barack Obama. I go back to 2008, honestly, and the infestation of liberalism into every single aspect of the federal bureaucracy. And not a single Republican is talking about shrinking the size of it. Not one.
No.
Not any of them. Kevin McCarthy, you saw his platform. He didn't talk about shrinking the size of government. His platform was like, we got to get back to economic growth. We got to do this. We got to do that. Not one thing out of his mouth was about the size of government. Not one.
But everything that happens, too, every time they have a debt ceiling conversation, yep, let's do it. Every time they have a budget conversation, yep, let's do it. There's never any conscious effort to shrink the budget,
Nope. Keep
the debt ceiling where it is. And they're like, oh, well, you just don't want to pay our bills. Maybe you shouldn't have racked up those bills.
Right.
How about that? How about we start there? How about you don't just have this excessive social spending plan in every state level, right, which New York State was billions of dollars in the hole, got billed out, and then what did the New York State Assembly and the Senate do? They immediately put themselves back in the hole of billions of dollars. That's because you're dumb, right?
That's right.
So you get your get-out-of-jail-free card. Do you think that it's fair that the people live in Florida and Tennessee and Georgia, the people that can manage a budget, are paying for the mismanagement of New York State? No, because they're going to continue to have New York State be the largest employer, right? They're going to continue to do this stuff. So then you look at what happens where Kurt McCarthy comes out, and I think he just came out, right, and said, you know, when we take back power. That's what the Republicans are really good at, right?
When we take back power. Okay.
So, what's going to happen? Nothing. You're going to have Mitch McConnell be another turtle that's going to go back in his shell and do absolutely nothing for the American people. Well, his wife ends up being the energy secretary or something like that during the Trump administration, who was basically leading the resistance against the Trump people from the inside.
Right. Yep.
So you have these people, and then they're like, oh, well, we'll get rid of Swalwell. We'll get rid of Schiff. We'll move them off the Intelligence Committee. I'll get rid of Ilhan Omar. Okay. I mean, that's great. But what are you going to do to stop election tampering, let's call it there, because I'm sure Facebook will have an issue with it. What are you going to do to secure the election for 2022? And I'm not talking about federalizing, which they're talking about doing, federalizing voting. That's not what I'm talking about. Because if you federalize the vote, the Republicans will never win another election.
This is their only chance. See, this is why they have to do this whole, you know, they're going all in, by the way. This is it. They're going all in. They're going to change the filibuster because this is their last chance. They have gone so far down this path, there's no turning back. Americans in general, 70% of America hates what's going on right now. They hate curfews. They don't want to talk about closures. They're sick and tired of schools getting closed down. They're sick of the masking, right? Now they've admitted with COVID all the things that we've all been talking about, right? I'll play some sound clips here in just a second. But now they're saying, you know, now the vaccine doesn't prevent you from getting it. Okay. Now the vaccine doesn't prevent you from spreading it. Okay. Well, the vaccine doesn't prevent you from getting it, and the vaccine doesn't prevent you from spreading it. What does it do? Well, it lowers your symptoms, Glenn. It makes it so that you don't overwhelm the hospitals. Okay.
After how many boosters?
But just to make sure we're on the same page here. So if it doesn't affect you, because even though I'm vaxxed, you can still get it, right? If I can still transmit it to you, and even if you're vaxxed, you can still get it, we're down to the vaccination impacting me only, right? Now, if I get vaccinated or not vaccinated, you're telling me at this point now, The only benefit's going to be that it might keep me out of the hospital or make my symptoms less. Okay, fine. You can make the argument that we want you to get vaccinated to not overwhelm the hospitals. But now explain to me the firings, the mandates, right? The not being able to go to a Bills game and things like that. If you can get it while you're vaxxed and you can transmit it while you're vaxxed to other people that are vaxxed, and again, the only thing that the vaccination does, this is where we're at now, is lower your symptoms, then it should. Why isn't it your personal decision?
But you know, why should, also, it sounds like, and this is why I think people have just completely given up on it, right? It sounds like I have allergies, but it's your fault because you didn't take a Claritin.
Right.
That's what it seems like to everybody. And everybody's like, that's so stupid. Like, what are we doing? That's why no one is I think you're losing people because it doesn't make any sense at this point. I mean, even the CDC director is starting to go through training of media, right? Her narrative is so bad. They're putting her through,
this is
through
what
media
she said.
Training.
Here. This is her right here. She's telling us right here. This doesn't help you, right? It doesn't prevent anything.
Our vaccines are working exceptionally well. They continue to work well for Delta with regard to severe illness and death. They prevent it. But what they can't do anymore is prevent transmission. So if you're going home to somebody who has not been vaccinated, to somebody who can't get vaccinated, somebody who might be immunosuppressed or a little bit frail, somebody who has comorbidities that put them at high risk, I would suggest you wear a mask in public indoor settings.
Okay,
you know,
so now you're
vaxxed. There's two things that bother me there. Two things. Yeah. One, she said, doesn't prevent transmission anymore.
Right.
One, it never did.
Never
so
did.
Let's start there.
There's
right?
no
don't
evidence
say
that
anymore.
It did.
Exactly.
They,
so
but she actually anymore. Let that out 6 months, 9 months ago. They talked about that.
Right. So don't say anymore because right. anymore implies
that's like a breakthrough
that it was
case.
The first time.
Exactly. That's like the breakthrough cases. Stop
Everything's
it with the breakthroughs.
That's right.
Right.
Secondly, stop people. Stop telling people to make sure that you're masking up. When you have the inventor of right. literally the mRNA comes out and he talks about the size of these molecules, then he talks about how the N95 cannot filter down to the size of these molecules. So he's so stop pushing the mask agenda. Now, can we go back to Dr. Fauci that said masks are ineffective at the beginning? I think he was accidentally right then.
He was.
But
he was right then.
He had to change it all the way through to today to when it was double mass and make sure you're doing it indoor settings. I mean, we're talking about a bureaucracy that is so well-funded that they can do anything that they want. And I think we've seen this over the last 2 years. The mm-hmm. CDC, the NIA, all these things, Dr. Fauci, they have unlimited funds to push unlimited messaging anytime they want. Now they also have the media that backs them, so they can also not worry about really getting caught. I mean, literally, it took what? Justice Sotomayor literally said something stupid during the hearing, and they finally had to call her on it because she said 100,000 kids are on ventilators
right.
due to Omicron.
100,000 kids are seriously ill and on ventilators.
And
she should absolutely be required to recuse herself. Immediately.
What are you doing? I mean,
why are the Republicans not standing up, jumping up and down, going, she needs to recuse herself in this decision?
Now, here's the issue.
They're so useless. I'm so sick of these useless Republicans.
It is the highest court in the land, and the misinformation flows because all of it's on audio, right? They don't have video inside the Supreme Court. They're almost never going to do that, right, out of tradition or whatever. But you have the audio. So you have the highest court in the land that is pushing serious misinformation. Now, if this was Facebook and YouTube and she makes that comment, she should be kicked off.
Right.
But no, she's the one that's going to determine OSHA standing and stays that are going to affect millions and millions of people's lives. And she's one of the people spreading misinformation. If it does, if it gets to the highest court in the land and you can't nip it there, what's going to
happen? Are the Republicans? Where are the Republicans?
Why aren't they jumping
up and down? Why aren't they standing on the steps of the Capitol building? In all seriousness, right? The Democrats all stood out on January 6th. Oh, you're standing with candles. They're fake candles, by the way. So fitting. So fitting to use fake candles, right? The whole drama thing, right? By the way, we're going to try to make a spoof of the little musical that they did. What a joke. This is all theater. Theater to the point where they actually have an actual TV studio in the White House now. They have set up a TV set for the bumbling Joe Biden so they can script everything. I'm pretty sure he actually hasn't even seen the real Oval Office. I'm pretty sure they got an Oval Office built replica in the basement. They just shoved him in there, and Kamala's actually sitting at the big desk in the Oval Office calling the shots with Susan Rice and Valerie Jarrett or something. Crazy.
Part of me just doesn't understand why he can't just use the Oval Office. Is it because the lighting's not good to see the strings when they're pulling Joe Biden?
It's a joke, honest to God.
Why do you build another set? I mean, They built a set for a fake president. They built a fake Oval Office for a fake president.
That's right.
Because, I mean, why else would you do that? Why can't you let him just take his – I mean, you can put a teleprompter in the Oval Office, can't you? Why do you have to put it in this weird room? Is it because he goes and has pudding in the corner and it's easier for him? I don't understand why build it. Now,
it's a joke.
If you're trying to also – maintain transparency, right? And you're trying to put up a front that you have a unified front that everybody knows what's going on. You don't build a fake set to have your conversations from. It delegitimizes anything you're trying to. Am I the only one that notices that? Like, doesn't it make it seem like this entire
thing? Not when the media is all locked up, though. You have propaganda now right across the board. NBC, ABC, CBS, local news, national news, right? I look at these things even locally. I think to myself, why aren't you asking questions? Polling cars lied last week. Literally, in the face of data being out, in the face of Kathy Hochul actually releasing actual data that says roughly 50% are in the hospital with COVID versus because of COVID, polling cars just last week said in the press conference, oh, we know that 90% of people are there because of, not just with.
Right.
Well, did you not get the memo, Markey? Did you not get the note?
Calling everybody an anti-Semite.
But not one person in the media, not one, has run an article, a story, a report, or asked a follow-up question. Mark, last week you said 90% of hospitalizations were because of COVID, not just with COVID. That was not the right information. Now, we have actual information from Kathy Hochul. She's released actual hospital reports and data. Right. And I'm even skeptical of that, to be honest with you. And it shows nowhere near 90% being hospitalized because of COVID. So did you not get the memo, Mark? Were you not aware of what everybody else in New York State had already seen at this point? Or were you just lying to us because that's the narrative that you – somebody write an article. Somebody ask a question. Somebody. Nobody.
And it's not like they don't have the information that they can ask the question about, right?
It's right there.
They got the information.
And when they do ask the question, it's so polite. It's so polite. Like, well, it seems as if maybe you were just a bit off, Mark. Do you want to maybe change your statement so that we can? Oh, okay. It's I mean, honest to God, there's such candy asses. It's amazing to me. Anyway,
but you know what I was thinking too? The media, if you want to say the media can be theatrics, that's fine. The government should not be theater, right?
Well, it is now. It's Hollywood now.
It's run by Hollywood. It's just a total clown show.
Total theatrics and nonsense.
But I know you have another clip. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to play this one because this is Dr. Leanna Wen telling us what we've all known from the beginning.
Cloth masks are not appropriate for this pandemic. It's not appropriate for Omicron. It was not appropriate for Delta, Alpha, or any of the previous variants either, because we're dealing with something that's airborne.
No kidding. Shocker. No kidding. Now, what she's actually recommending, the Dr. Leanna Wen, who is a full-blown communist, by the way.
Complete communist.
Full-blown communist, right? What she's suggesting is 14 masks. That's what she wants. You're supposed to wear an N95 and then put a cloth mask over that and then put a bug shield on and then wrap yourself in plastic and lock yourself in a refrigerator. I mean, these people are idiots. I'm watching one woman going, you want to try to seal the whole thing so no air gets in or out. I'm thinking, yeah, you do that. Wrap that plastic bag over your head tight so no air gets in or out. And that will for sure prevent you from getting COVID. It's like the people that say, well, yeah, she died, but her symptoms would have been a lot worse had she not had the vaccination. I've seen people say this online. Like, honestly, really?
Well, sometimes though, there's a new thing every day where they come out and say, "Well, you have to do this." I mean, we were talking about before. If somebody said you have to take a dead squirrel and you have to put it directly on the top of your head, and that'll stop you from getting COVID.
See people walking around with it.
I will be in Tops or Wegmans, and everybody will be looking like just absolutely just Johnny Appleseed with their squirrel wrapped around the top of their head because somebody told them to. But that's the other time. When do we start going back to being Americans and thinking for ourselves? If it sounds stupid, doesn't make any sense, and you've seen that these masks, right? So Mark Poloncarz, was it 2 weeks ago, was talking about that we had some of the highest cases that we'd had ever in our region, right?
With the vaccination.
But our masks are working.
Right. Right.
What do you –
right.
You just said.
Masks and vaccination passport requirements in New York City, and they're breaking records in the country.
Right. But it's working, Glenn. It's working.
You know the scary thing is, and again, I've said before, you don't recognize the country anymore. We literally have places you can't go anymore in this country. Like, you can't go to Manhattan and expect any sort of level of safety. I mean, even Lee Zeldin the other day, or no, not Lee Zeldin. Who's the other candidate in the race? Rudy's son.
Andrew Giuliani.
What was it?
Andrew Giuliani.
Andrew. Andrew Giuliani. I know he's been a guest on the podcast and the radio show a number of times. I think it was Andrew Giuliani actually had chased down. It might have been Lee Zeldin. I'm not sure. One of the two of them chased down a woman or a criminal who mugged a woman in Manhattan the other day. This happens dozens of times. Murders are up. Shootings are up. Now the DA is saying, you know what? We're going to prosecute, you know, like violent crime, like, I don't know, armed robbery as misdemeanors, right?
He gave an entire list of things that he said he was going to refuse to. But things on there were like home invasion.
Right.
Or
right,
things.
Right.
I mean,
now,
they weren't.
You, God forbid, like you protect yourself in New York, right? What happens in New York is there was a guy who shot somebody that invaded, look at the 80-year-old guy, 90-year-old guy, shot somebody who came into his house, you know, an intruder, right? Protected himself and his family. They arrested him because the gun was unregistered. This is how New York
thinks. That guy's going to jail.
This is New York stupid, is what this is, right? And you mentioned before, you know, more, you know, being a moron is not a crime. If it was, you would have jails overflowing with liberals all over the place.
New York City wouldn't exist.
New York City wouldn't exist. That's right. It's becoming – we need Snake Plissken. I mean, it's becoming – it's literally like Escape from New York. If you haven't seen Escape from New York, I'll go back to this all the time. Kurt Russell, great actor, one of my favorites. Snake Plissken. Right. But it's like that now. That's New York now. Right. The criminals know. Don't commit a crime on, you know, in Staten Island. They have a different DA over there. Well, you got to take the bus over to Manhattan. Then we're free to go. And that's where they go. They're not that dumb. Criminals are dumb in one way, but they're very smart in other ways. Right. They
know
where to go. You can't
too.
Go there anymore.
Eric Adams won that election as the most moderate of all the people, right? There were some people that were running that were just, you know, to the left of Mao Zedong, right? So he ended up winning that, and he wins it because the people of New York City finally, I think, understood that we can't keep going down Fat Mess de Blasio's pattern, right? It's not working, right? Yep. He wants to eat fries and tell you to get vaccinated. That guy's an idiot, right? His wife embezzled $1 billion in government programs.
Yep.
So they finally were starting to understand, and we're starting to come around. So they literally did what good Americans should do, went out and voted for something that should have been the option, right? First thing he does is comes out, and he goes and starts taking the left wing. Well, we're not going to prosecute this. We're okay with it. Now, that guy, you got to remember, he was what? The former police chief of police?
Yeah, but didn't he also just allow illegal aliens to vote?
Right.
I mean, wasn't that like one of the very first things? How's that working out for you? New York City is so screwed.
Now, New York State is suing them because they just don't want non-citizens to be able to vote. Right. That's not an unrealistic. That's not a right-wing racist or whatever.
As I said before, they're going all in. They're going to change the filibuster rules in the Senate. Because they're so far down the path now. Americans are so mad. They know that they're going to get shellacked in the midterms coming up. And they know that there's no chance in hell that they can have a Kamala can't win a race and neither can Joe Biden, right? So it doesn't matter who the Republican candidate is. It'll be the anti-candidate like Biden was almost to Trump, right? So even if Trump is the candidate, unless they cheat, that's the only way they can – they're so far down the path now that the only way that they can retain power is if they – and so they have to go all in. They have to have mass mail-in ballots. They have to have absolute, you know, worse than 2020. And so they have to pass this election bill to federalize national election. They have to. And the only way they can do it is to get rid of the filibuster. They know it will cause them to lose their seats in some – it doesn't matter. They will throw it all away if they think that they have a chance of ultimate power, and they will move it to you don't have to look at too far than the states that were Democrat leaders to see what the totalitarian ideas are for the rest of the country, right?
If they can't get Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema on board for Build Back Better, I don't know how you get them on board to destroy the filibuster. I don't understand how you get them on board for that, because if Joe Manchin says
they'll figure it out,
it's not good for West Virginia to do this excessive spending bill that makes no sense. Yep. It's going to destroy oil and
gas,
which my region's built on. How are they possibly going to go in this other direction?
They're going to try. So, they'll do everything they possibly can. They are too far down the path now. Most Americans absolutely hate this administration. Yeah. Very few will admit it, but most do, right? Even the liberals don't like pay more money to put gas in their tank. And ultimately, everybody eventually votes for their own self-interest. Some people are too dumb to realize it, sadly, or uneducated. I shouldn't say dumb. That's unfair. Some people have been so kept in the dark and uneducated that they don't have a chance to figure it out. But a lot of other people have figured it out and will figure it out, and they don't like it. And they don't like it not one bit. And they know that it's because of the Democrat policies.
I mean, you can be uneducated but still understand that gas was $1.09 and now it's $3.49, right? That's not – that you don't have to literally be some sort of candidate in order to understand now more expensive. You don't have to say, I'm going to for groceries, and now it's 40% more.
What I'm saying is half the group, though, will understand that it's the Democrats' fault. The other half – will think that the Democrats actually have the solution to fix it. And that is the uneducated / dumb, whatever you want to call it.
If you think that giving more money to the current administration is going to solve the problem, meaning in tax dollars or inflation or all this thing, then yes, you're right. That's a completely uneducated opinion. But at this point, I mean, Joe Biden's approval rating is about as popular as like poison ivy in your rear end at this point.
That's right.
I mean, how much further can it go down before people say, okay, obviously this guy, I mean, is he beyond Jimmy Carter at this point in terms
of approval rating? He's beyond Jimmy Carter. Carter. Jimmy Carter had a chance of reelection. This guy's got zero chance. None whatsoever.
But that's where the scarcity comes in on the Democrat side to push all this now, because their bench is extremely limited. Who's going to go ahead in 2024? Kamala Harris cannot run.
Nobody.
Right? She didn't even make it out of her state in terms of the primary, right? So who? Joe Biden, I'll be honest with you, I don't think the Democrats themselves let him run. So who's going to run for that, right? I mean, at least if you look in the Republicans, you could say, okay, Matt Gaetz. You can say Donald Trump again. You could say easily DeSantis if he decided he wanted to do so. But if you look at the Democrat side, there is no bench for them. I mean, Beto O'Rourke has taken another swing of it in Texas, right?
He's useless.
I mean,
you have Stacey Abrams. He can't even win a local race.
Stacey Abrams thinks that she's suddenly going to beat Brian Kemp in Georgia.
Well, she's already collected 8 million votes. I mean, you got to give her credit for it. She's already harvested how many, you know?
Well, ballot harvesting, I thought was illegal in Georgia, but she's already got the votes.
She literally said, and I cannot find the interview anywhere, but she said, I've already gathered 800,000 votes. That's what she said.
Yeah.
Before the election.
Now, anybody also, you talk about reporters going to ask a question. Nobody's going to ask her about that?
Nope.
Does she still have them? When are they stamped from? I mean, they started looking at some of these regions in Georgia, and they were tracking these election ballots all the way back to an abandoned lot that were outside Atlanta. Nobody's going to ask about that. How many people live with the rats, you know, in this abandoned lot that's weeds?
Right. Now, I know that we're long here, but and we'll wrap this up here. But what happened to the audit in Arizona? What happened?
Arizona, Nevada, Georgia.
But weren't they on the cusp of they found all these discrepancies? What happened? Nothing.
Right. And then you had David Perdue said that he was about to launch something else in Georgia. And because Warlock, whatever that guy's
name. They control everything. They have the judges now. They have the FBI. They have the Justice Department. I'm telling you, the Democrats and the liberals and the commies that they are have infested every aspect of this federal bureaucracy down to the state levels, down to the local levels. And I think Steve Bannon's right. The only way to beat it is you start local up. You got to start with school boards, then local town boards, then local legislatures. Than state legislatures, you have to. And there's some states that are not recoverable. New York is not recoverable. California is not recoverable. It's not. It's let that be the cesspool of liberal utopianism, right? They want a liberal utopia? Keep it in California. You want 20% of your population homeless? Keep it in California. You want 20% of the poverty level? Keep it in California, right? You want to live in that liberal utopia? You keep it there. But I got to tell you, if I'm DeSantis, I'm barring Democrats from buying land in the state of Florida. If a Nancy Pelosi tries to buy a condo on the water, she's banned. If I'm DeSantis, I'm putting it out there. Hey, Nancy's trying to buy something on Jupiter Island. Maybe you guys would need to make your voices heard, right? You keep them out. Don't let them crap in their own kitchen and then move into your house, because that's what they're going to do, right? That's what they want to do, right? Well, AOC moved her own mother to Florida, right?
Well, AOC herself vacations in Florida because she doesn't want to deal with the lockdowns of her own state.
That's right.
It's like that is the epitome.
They make their state so miserable, and then they go somewhere else to party, to the place of freedom. And DeSantis nailed it this week. He called it right out. He goes, they make their place in a place that nobody wants to live and nobody can have a good time, and they come to the place of freedom so they can go to a bar and a restaurant and have a drink without a mask on. The hypocrisy is disgustingly amazing.
Because you don't want to go on vacation in a place that you can't do anything. So, right. I mean, the whole thing—it's—it's you could do a show every single week on liberal hypocrisy, and the show would be 55 hours long, and you'd never find the end of it. Right. But it's unbelievable. But
well, the truth is now coming out, and even people like Jake Tapper are starting to ask the question: like, wait a minute, now isn't it kind of misleading? I mean, where were you, dude, 2 years ago? Right? This is Jake Tapper this week, finally figuring it out. Right? Wait a minute now.
So, the hospitals are still stretched thin because of this. So, I'm not trying to take away from that. But if 40% in some hospitals, 40% of the people who have COVID don't necessarily have problematic COVID. They're there because they got in a car accident. They're there because,
I've been saying this for 2 years.
Their head, and they're being included as in the hospital with COVID. That number seems kind of misleading.
Yeah, I think, Jake.
I agree. CNN. 2 years later, nice job, guys. That's reporting right there, right? But this is even worse. After reviewing the charts of every COVID positive patient at UCSF hospitals on January 4th, Dr. Jeanne Noble, an associate professor of emergency medicine at UCSF, determined that 70% of them were in the hospital for other reasons. She is the head of the UCSF emergency department at the hospital. It's out of San Francisco.
So what are we doing?
According to SF Gate.
So what are we doing? You know what are we doing?
What are we doing? Now, listen, I have said this, and Mike has said this, from all the reports from day one. Wait a minute. There was a head-on motorcycle accident. He was counted as COVID, right? Jeffrey Epstein, well, I don't know if he was COVID. Was he during COVID? George Floyd, COVID death. Really? If COVID killed George Floyd, why was there a trial?
Then right? Why is Derek Chauvin guilty?
Right? You know, obviously we know that it wasn't the COVID that killed him. It was, you know, the drugs and the knee on the throat, that, you know, combination thereof or whatever, right?
But how was that a COVID death then? It just went through
an entire
trial.
It's not a COVID death. Now they're finally admitting it. So now Kathy Hochul, now even Dr. Fauci is like, well, we know that half the children are actually there with COVID, not because of COVID, right? I'll find that clip. It's just amazing. So now the cat's out of the bag. Now they're all going, you know, these reporters are amazing. 2 years later, CNN, Jake Tapper, you're finally figuring out. 2 years later, the right has been saying this from day one, and you have completely missed it, and you're finally catching up. Like, doesn't that seem kind of – it's like they live in their own bubble. Do they watch their own news things back and forth with each other? It's unreal.
Even Ryan Stelter came out and said that the CDC has become a little bit of a punchline, and it's
you
become
think?
The running joke. And I said, it took Brian Stelter, of all people, right? Reliable sources, CNN's just token liar, right?
Could they have made that any worse? I mean, could they have named that show any worse?
There's more people watching this podcast right now than Reliable Sources all week.
I mean, seriously, what a joke. I'm not sure if I can find the clip in time.
If he's not on in an airport, they'd never have any viewers.
I'll leave you with this. Because this is a good clip, too. This is Dr. Fauci just making a little bit of a Freudian slip here. This is just classic.
We really had to learn a lot more about the viruses that were there, about whether or not people were getting infected with bad viruses. So in a very minor collaboration as part of a subcontract of a grant, we had a collaboration with some Chinese. We had a collaboration with some Chinese
some Chinese communists. He's guilty. This guy needs to go to jail. Who in the Republican Party is going to step up outside of Rand Paul and say this guy needs to go to jail? He's lied to Congress repeatedly. And if you haven't seen the latest on the Project Veritas, folks, James O'Keefe, despite being banned everywhere, is still doing a phenomenal job. He just secured documents this week, and he put them out on the internet that shows that DARPA. Right. The EcoHealth Alliance approached DARPA, which is the basically the military weapons, you know, government weapons agency, basically, that decides on some of these projects. Right. DARPA said, no, we're not going to fund Gainer research in Wuhan. It's too dangerous.
Yeah, they said it was
DARPA,
dangerous.
The same group that secures our nuclear arsenal. Right. They thought that it was too dangerous to fund gain of research. And so what did this guy do? EcoHealth, through Dr. Fauci, found other ways to fund it.
They did.
But even DARPA, even the military intelligence and the weapons folks said, no way, we can't do this. Project Veritas is out with it. Go to the website, projectveritas.com, find James O'Keefe, support what he does, because he is one of the few reporters out there. There's a handful of them. He's one of them, right? Cheryl Atkinson, she's another, right? These independent reporters are the only way we're finding this stuff out. Jake Tapper ain't cutting it.
And you know why? Because the FBI raids his house because he's the one putting out the information that's the most damning.
It's crazy.
The FBI raids his house. Tell me that's not inside game right there.
It's a joke. Anyway, all right, folks, we're going to have to call it there. We're a little bit over an hour. If you need us throughout the week, of course, we do manage money for a living. Thanks for tuning into the podcast. We do appreciate it. Tough markets this past week, by the way. I will mention that. If you're concerned, you'd like a review of your portfolio, it's always pays to be diversified, folks, although there's no guarantee against loss if you're invested in the market. Having a diversified portfolio and being strategically allocated certainly helps to smooth out the ride. If you need us throughout the week, call us at the office, 833-FIN-GUYS, or again, go to our website, thefinancialguys.com. On that website, you'll find all of our departments from income planning to estate planning, our private wealth group. We have folks like Paul Meeks, who's on CNBC every week, our investment committee. We do Medicare. We do property casualty, home and auto. So easy, even a liberal can do it. We'll shop 25 companies to save you money. All kinds of stuff. We are a one-stop financial shop. To find out all of our departments and all of our social media links, we're active. Well, when we're allowed to be on Facebook, YouTube, right. Twitter, when we're not banned.
Yeah.
Soon, I think we're on Rumble now. We're also on Getter. I set that up myself. So find us out there. You can find all the links to all of our social media on that same website, thefinancialguys.com. Ryan Norton, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it. We'll see you on a future podcast for sure. Mike Lomas will be back next week. And, of course, we'll see you on Saturday from 1 to 3 on the Financial Guys Radio Network. So thanks for tuning in, folks. We appreciate it. I hope you all have a fantastic week. And enjoy. All right.